नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 7। लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स उद्धव। टेक्स्ट नंबर 16 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे। सोहम ममाहमिति मूढ़मतिर्विगाढ़स् त्वन्मायया विरचितात्मनि सानुबंधे तत्त्वञ्जसा निगदितं भवता यथाहम् संसाधयामि भगवन्ननुषाधिभृत्यम्। सोऽहं ममाहमिति मूढमतिर्विगाढ़स् त्वन्मायया विरचितात्मनि सानुबंधे तत्त्वञ्जसा निगदितं भवता यथाहम् संसाधयामि भगवन्ननुषाधिभृत्यम्। सोऽहं ममाहमिति मूढमतिर्विगाढ़स् त्वन्मायया विरचितात्मनि सानुबंधे तत्त्वञ्जसा निगदितं भवता यथाहम् संसाधयामि भगवन्ननुषाधिभृत्यम्। भगवन अनुषादि भृत्यम्। भवता यथाहम् मतजीस, विल रीड वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय द हम्बल सर्वेंट्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। सह ही अहम आय मम अहम द फॉल्स कंसेप्ट ऑफ आय एंड माइन इति दस मूढ़ मोस्ट फूलिश मति कॉन्शियसनेस विगाढ़ मर्ज्ड त्वन्मायया बाय योर इल्यूजरी पोटेंसी विरचित manufactured atmani in the body sanubandhe along with bodily relations tat therefore tu indeed anjasa easily nigaditam that instructed bhavata by you yatha the process by which aham I samsadhayami may execute bhagavan my dear lord anushadhi teach bhrityam your servant translation O my lord I myself am most foolish because my consciousness is merged in the material body and bodily relations which are all manufactured by your illusory energy. Thus, I am thinking, I am this body and all of these relatives are mine. Therefore, my Lord, please instruct your poor servant. Please tell me how I can very easily carry out your instructions. Purport. It is very difficult to give up false identification with the material body and thus we remain attached to our so-called bodily relations such as wife, children, friends and so on. Bodily attachment causes intense pain within the heart and we are stunned by lamentation and hankering. Sri Uddhav, a pure devotee of the Lord, here speaks like an ordinary person showing how to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We practically see that many sinful persons enter the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and after preliminary purification become most repentant for their previous illicit activities. They are shocked when they realize how they gave up the personal association of God to pursue the useless forms created by Maya. Therefore, they wholeheartedly pray to the spiritual master and Lord Krishna to be engaged eternally in transcendental devotional service. Such a repentant, eager mentality is most auspicious for spiritual advancement. The Lord certainly answers the prayers of a repentant devotee desperate to escape the clutches of illusion. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. We welcome all the devotees to the morning Bhagavatam class and also seek the blessings of all those who are assembled so that we can speak something on the instructions of Lord Krishna to Uddhava and Uddhava's questions to Krishna for further instructions. So here we see how Uddhava, such a great devotee, is taking the humble menial role of an ordinary person and he's saying, therefore, my dear Lord, please instruct your poor servant. So when somebody reads this, he can think, is Uddhav contradicting his own words? He's praying to the Lord, please instruct this poor servant. How can the servant of Lakshmipati be poor? So it means, if Uddhav is a intelligent person, if Uddhav is somebody who has been accepted by the Lord as his devotee, and that's why he has been chosen for this mission. He has been chosen. And that's why this conversation is happening. So Uddhav is somebody who is not an ordinary person. Uddhav is not somebody who is a fool. He is Krishna's servant. So how is he saying, I am poor? It means this poverty that Uddhav is speaking is not the poverty that we think of when we speak or hear the word poverty. He's not talking about money. He's saying, I'm a poor servant. He's not talking about wages. He's not talking about remuneration. He's saying, I'm poor for knowledge. I'm poor in terms of discrimination. Please give me the wealth of discrimination. Please snatch away my so-called wealth of having prejudices. I have already decoded this world. I have already thought how this world works. What is right, what is wrong. I have some ideas, but now when I'm interacting with you, now when you spoke certain things before I started asking you questions, I realized that there's a lot to learn from you. So, therefore, my Lord, please instruct your poor servant. Please tell me how I can very easily carry out your instructions. So this is something very important for all of us to understand. In today's world, there is a lot of talk about intellectual property rights. Somebody develops a small, tiny 500 KB app for your phone and he patents it. Says, this is my intellectual property. I generated it with my intelligence. So there's so much ownership and there is so much faith that we all have on our intellectual property. And many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees, they will speak about intellectual poverty. They will say, I don't have intellectual property. My intellectual property is actually a burden that I'm carrying. I'm carrying a lot of weight, but it pushes me down. It slows my speed while walking towards you. In fact, if I tell you, my Lord, what is my position is intellectual poverty. Some devotees were talking and they asked, a common question today, that while going on in around in our lives, many people around us will pass comments on us. Without asking, they'll tell you what is wrong with you, how you can improve, and so on. So this one person asked, sometimes it's difficult actually. Constantly somebody corrects you, constantly somebody passes comments on you. So this person asked, how do we develop some kind of resilience? How do we develop some kind of tolerance for this kind of behavior, which is common around? So the answer that was given was, all these people around us who keep giving their comments can be seen as lawyers. What is the function of a lawyer? Lawyer's function is to give opinions. So imagine me, I am standing in a court and I'm being judged. So there will be two parties. One of the lawyers will say, I'm accused. And vehemently, with a lot of faith, with a lot of conviction, with force. And he has strong points how I am the accused, how I should be punished. And it will be a very logical presentation. Because he's a good lawyer. And then what happens is, if I don't understand he is a lawyer, then I take it very seriously, and with every logical sentence that he speaks, presented nicely, quoting some previous rules, I actually sink. Because I think I'm the accused. I keep the reality aside and I get affected by that lawyer's talk. But if I really am cognizant, I am aware, he's a lawyer, he is not a judge. He's giving his opinion. That comment is an opinion. Then I accept all that. My lawyer is noting down all that. And then the judge, he hears all that and then he says, okay, we heard one side, now we want to hear the other side. And then me or my lawyer, whoever is representing me, makes another logical presentation of how I am not the accused. And he will also speak nicely, he'll also speak powerfully, yes. And then what happens is, after two parties have given their opinions, which in our context today we are discussing is comments, then the judge passes the final judgment. So till the judge passes the final judgment, it's not decided. But if I'm not aware of the difference between a judge and a lawyer, then I take the lawyer's comments as the judge's judgment. And that is where I start sinking in, that is where it starts affecting me. But if I understand, he's dressed in black clothes, and the judge is also dressed in black clothes, but he has a position to give a judgment. So when this answer was given, that person actually calmed down. So we could also understand how there are innumerable people in this world who will pass comments on us. What are they doing? They are just giving their opinions. It is not a judgment. The judgment will come from the judge. The Supreme Lord is hearing everyone's comments, and the Supreme Lord is also hearing your defense. You have something to say, how you are not wrong, how it was circumstantial, and so on. So the Supreme Lord is the judge. The judgment is not yet out. Let people give opinions. You present your opinions. All of us have a chance to defend. In a court, no matter how convicted you are, in a court, how much evidence is against you, you always get a chance to speak. So you present your case. Everyone is presenting their case. Let the Supreme Lord decide. Let the representatives of the Supreme Lord, the pure representatives of the Supreme Lord, let them decide. Is it not? So till that time, we don't have to get affected by every small thing that happens around us. But this differentiation between one person who wears a black coat and another person who wears a black coat, one person is standing and one person is sitting forever. It requires discrimination. It requires fine intelligence. And that is something that we don't have. And that's why Uddhav is saying, Tvan mayaya rachitatmani. You have created a maya by which I have lost the power of discrimination. I think I am the body. Actually, I am different from the body. I should have discrimination to differentiate between lawyers and judges. I should have the discrimination to differentiate between the body and the soul. But I don't have. Please instruct your poor servant. In 7th canto, 11th chapter, shloka number 8 to 12, Narad Muni is speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj. This chapter is called the four social classes of human society. And Narad Muni, in these set of six shlokas, he speaks about 30 qualities that every human being should have if he wants success in his life, if he wants to be known as a gentleman. So I have noted four qualities out of those 30 for discussion here. The first quality is Iksha. What is the translation? Discrimination between right and wrong. This is the fifth or the sixth quality that he mentions in 50. First few are Shama, Tapaha, control of senses and all. So this is very nice, the discrimination between right and wrong. And then some qualities later, there is one quality called Samadrik Seva. So one is that I should develop discrimination between right and wrong, which kind of points in the direction that I have to differentiate. Some things are good, some things are not wrong. So it kind of hints in a direction opposite to equality, differentiating. And then this quality, samadrik seva. What does it mean? It means there are certain personalities in this world who see, not differentiating, samadrik. They do not differentiate in this world. You serve those personalities. So is this not a contrast? One side is saying, you develop discrimination. And another side he says, there are personalities who don't discriminate. You serve them. Okay, we'll go ahead. There is one quality, another one, which is called vimarshanam. What is this vimarshanam? The literal word-to-word translation is research. So you might say, what is research to be done in? So he says, research should be done considering whether one is body or soul. You do your research, you keep thinking about introspection. Am I the body? But if I am the body, how am I changing? And my identity stays the same. So I am not the body. But then who am I? I can't see the soul. But maybe I am the mind, because mind is at least perceivable in terms of emotions. So keep doing vimarshanam. And then he says another quality, which says, anna adya ade sama vibhagaha. Anna adya ade. Adi means etc. So he says food, drinks, water, etc. Sama vibhagaha. You distribute it equally. And you know what is the translation of that? You distribute it equally to men and animals both. Don't differentiate that I'll feed only the animals and cut. I'll feed the humans and cut the animals. Or sometimes there are people who are animal lovers and they are very harsh in their speech to human beings. So they are non-violent to animals but super violent to humans. No. Anna adya ade sama vibhagaha means equal distribution of food and drink to all living entities. So we discussed just four qualities out of 30. There are many others for discussion. But the point is, these two sets of qualities appear to contradict each other. So what does it mean then? Are we supposed to differentiate? And if discrimination is everything, then why should we serve those who don't discriminate? It means, this is something, a step forward. This is that, as far as my outlook to this world is concerned, as far as my view of this world is concerned, I should not differentiate. Inside, there should be no discrimination. What about outside? Outside, there should be discrimination. Why? Because I am not yet a pure devotee. Outside, certain things, certain influences, certain people, certain situations may degrade me. So inside, there's this dvandva. Yes, this material world is a place of duality. So this duality is also something that we have to learn to live with. Inside, we always try to develop more and more the quality of no differentiation. No differentiation. And outside, while dealing with the reality of this world, I have to also note the influences that these dead things have on me, live people have on me, and differentiate. And this is something slowly we have to learn to live with. Very difficult. There is one beautiful story about Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada was one time sitting with some guests. And one particular guest was an elderly person. He told Swamiji, Swamiji, you should not criticize so many people. The Bhagavad Gita, he quoted the Bhagavad Gita. He says, the Bhagavad Gita says, Panditaha Samadarshinaha. And why do you criticize so many people? So Srila Prabhupada replied, that is a higher stage. I am not on that higher stage. I distinguish. On the higher stage, you don't distinguish between pious and sinful, but I distinguish. Therefore, I say, you are sinning and you should stop sinning. This is not good for you. So this person, he said, okay. Prabhupada continued. He said, I have my acharyas. I have my Bhagavad Gita. I stand on their authority. That they differentiate. They say, you are sinning, don't sin. Otherwise you'll never be happy. You want to be happy, stop sinning. Then you'll be happy. So this person, he took that point of, you are standing on the previous acharya's authority. And this person said, so what have you done beyond that? You are just repeating what they have done. What have you done? So Prabhupada replies, I haven't done anything. I am simply repeating. My contribution is that I have made this knowledge available to all people of the world without discrimination. And then Prabhupada spoke very nicely. I have given Krishna consciousness to everyone. This is my contribution and this is my version of Pandita Samadarshina.
So one version of Pandita Samadarshina is, you don't differentiate. And another way of looking at Pandita Samadarshina is, I am Samadarshi when it comes to everyone, that they should receive the Bhagavad Gita. But to receive the Bhagavad Gita, I have to differentiate. This person needs the Bhagavad Gita. He's sinning. He does not know the proper knowledge. And this person was hit by this concept. Different understanding of Pandita Samadarshina. Our understanding of Pandita Samadarshina is that I deal equally with everyone. But when you deal equally with the policeman and the criminal, there are problems. But what is Pandita Samadarshina? Pandita Samadarshina is, every one of us is poor when it comes to spiritual knowledge. Every one of us needs discrimination till we become so pure that we can handle everyone equally. Till that point of time, we have to differentiate. So inside, we meditate on this non-differentiation. Every single person is a spirit soul. Everyone is equal. But while dealing with them outside, we have to have some discrimination. First is to save ourselves. Second is to help them. Viveka Buddhi is one of the 24 gurus that is mentioned amongst the list of the 24 gurus. If you look at all the other 23 gurus, then it is the earth, the tree, the river, water, and so on. So every other object that is mentioned, the python, Pingala is there. Every other guru that is mentioned is outside us. But one particular guru that is mentioned can also, if none of these are available, you are staying somewhere alone, there is no python there, there is no bee there, you don't have a mountain there, there is no river there. So what will you learn from? So Jiva Goswami says that Viveka Buddhi is the first guru that is awarded by the Supreme Lord to every single person. So, in one of the shlokas, in 28th chapter, it is mentioned how to understand the Supreme Lord, who is the basis of everything. And here also something good comes up for our discussion here. So this is 11.28.18. Jnanam viveko nigamastapascha pratyakshamaitiyam athanumanam adyantayorasya yadeva kevalam kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. So in the first two lines of this shloka, six things are required. They are mentioned that one person should have to understand how the Supreme Lord is the basis of everything, including time. First is jnanam. We should have knowledge. But in a flood of knowledge, all of us have experienced how we are starving for wisdom. So the next point that is mentioned is, not that every knowledge is beneficial. Not that every single letter that is printed is beneficial for us. So the next immediate thing after jnanam is viveka. So much knowledge available, but what is good for me, what is not good for me. The third thing that is mentioned is nigama. So somebody may say, I have jnana and I have some logical inference. I have some discrimination, viveka buddhi. But that viveka buddhi should be guided by nigama. Nigama means the Vedic scriptures. It should be guided by Vedic scriptures. Alright, so now I have jnana and then I have viveka buddhi. And also I am guided by the Vedic scriptures. But how many of us can understand? Because sometimes the Vedic scriptures appear, apparently, to be contradictory. Sometimes they mention something is good, sometimes they mention something is not good. So then the next thing that is mentioned is tapa. Tapa is penance. When we purify ourselves by penance, then we get that fine clarity of intelligence. Otherwise, even Vedic scriptures sometimes can be little bewildering. First chapter of Gita, in one purport, Prabhupada mentions Arjuna's mentioning that he won't fight is a sign of his weakness. And the next purport he mentions Arjuna's quality of being very compassionate because he's a Vaishnava is being exhibited when he says he does not want to fight. So if you don't understand it properly, then you will get confused. Then the next thing that is mentioned is pratyaksham. Observe the world around you. Evidence. The next thing that is mentioned is aitihyam. Aitihyam means you go through all the Puranas. Because sometimes even in your visible experience, there is something contradictory. So after jnana, after viveka, after nigama and after tapa, you finally think that the temple is a place where I should go. Temple is a place where I'll find a lot. And sometimes when you go to a temple, unfortunately, you may come across some people who are pujaris and they may just extort money from you. They may push you for giving a donation. And then that's how people feel. You know, I was reading so many times in this saint's bhajans. And I read so many times how satsanga should be done and we should associate with the devotees. And I actually went out of my way to a temple and I actually tried to associate with devotees. And then when I found her, there was actually black marketing going on. In the name of the DT, sometimes they extort. So then that's why the pratyaksha then gets disturbed. So then you feel, oh, all that I read. So then it is mentioned aitihyam. Go through the Vedic histories also. Is this what a temple was throughout time? All the temples, all the deities, all the pujaris, all the devotees that are mentioned in the histories, does their behavior match with the present representatives? No, it does not match. It means what is happening today is an exception. What is happening today is contamination. Actually, the home of the Lord, the devotees of the Lord are something different. So that's why pratyaksham is important. Then aitihyam is also important. And then what is mentioned is atha anumanam. And if at all you still are confused, you have to use your logic. You have to use your understanding how to reconcile all of these. Because it's not so easy to find a uniformity in all that we mentioned. So finally, even after you have read the Vedic scriptures, even after you are associating with devotees, even after you stay very close to a holy place, sometimes you are worshipping the deity yourself, you might come across certain experiences, you might come across certain things which will shake you. And that is where Viveka, that is where your logical inference always has to be used. It can never be discarded. Sometimes when there is so much talk about using your own faculties of intelligence, there is also a need to mention how intelligence sometimes can also be an obstacle. Too much intelligence, too much faith, dependence on my own intelligence can also cause a lot of problems. So one time, one of our devotees in the ashram, he was mentioning, one of the functions of the intelligence is to understand when to stop using the intelligence. How beyond a certain point, you have to take that leap of faith. But where and when to take that leap of faith has to be determined by your intelligence. So, in the French Revolution, at one point of time, you know, the church got corrupt. The representatives of religion got corrupt. The king who was Naradeva got corrupt. So at one point of time, all the French people, they came together and they pulled down the king, Louis XVI. They cut his neck off. And then they said, enough of this religion business. Now we'll install our own goddess. So what is this goddess? They called this goddess reason. Reason means logic. Rational. Why should we do this? You explain to me. That is called reason. So they kind of said, from today onwards, we are not going to worship any god or goddess. We are going to worship logic. We are going to worship inference. And they created a false goddess and said, this is the god that we are going to worship now. So sometimes, when there is too much inclination for logic, there is too much inclination for using your own understanding, it also conflicts. So there are people who sometimes suffer from this. We'll take two examples, one from our ordinary life and one from a transcendental perspective, how intelligence has not to be over-depended upon. Think about somebody who is experiencing a lot of care, who is experiencing a lot of concern, love from another person. And then he thinks, I better analyze why this person cares for me so much. He wants to decode a relationship. He wants to crack the reason for a relationship. So this person now, every single act of concern or care that that person does towards you, you act weird. You start analyzing. Or worse, when that person shows some concern for you, when that person shows some care for you, you ask, why do you care for me so much? Why did you do this for me out of the way? Because nobody else is doing this for me. Why are you doing this for me? You behave like this and in a few days you lose that concern, you lose that. Because that person thinks, I am caring for this person. This person is analyzing me. This person is trying to go deeper into it.
In one college program, one time we took some prasad. That day was a feast in the temple. And there was South Indian prasad, idlis, dosas and all that. And some of that was left over. So evening we had a program, 7 o'clock, and that idli and sambar and all that was still there. So we took it to a college program. In the college program, we were distributing it to some college students. Usually, in those days, we would carry khichdi. This is 2007. So every day, every program we used to carry khichdi. And one time there was this 5 or 6 items. And this student, he said, why did you bring this prasad? So I said, today there was a feast and something was there. So I thought of all of you and that I brought. No, but you know, why you are bringing so much food and you don't even charge us? What is your motto behind it? What is your motivation behind it? I said, I'm not charging you. I'm not even asking you what you ate in the afternoon. Whatever, if you like this, you eat it. If you don't like this, don't eat. No, but why do you come to this college? Why you want to do all these programs and business and all that? So sometimes, you know, somebody is just going out of his way to give you some food. It's transcendental food. It will purify even the spirit soul. But this person just kept on arguing 15 minutes. I said, I'm sorry I brought this food for you. Let others have it at least. Everyone else took it. This one person, he just could not understand why this person comes every week giving prasad and today he's brought 5 or 6 items. But nobody else in his life does this. So he's trying to equate. He's trying to understand. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, there is this incident mentioned how Vidur, after 30 years of pilgrimage, returns back to the palace. And he's been gone for a while. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, it is mentioned, and all the other Pandavas, it's almost like life has come back to them. They are enlivened when they see Vidur. Why particularly so about Vidur? Because Vidur is that person who always would try to save them. When there was a conspiracy against them that they should be burnt alive in the house of Lakh, Vidur was the minister of the king, so he could not even clarify it clearly. And he also had concern for the Pandavas. So what did he do? He spoke in a very puzzle kind of a way. He went to the Pandavas and said, the soul cannot be burnt by fire, but the body can be burnt by fire. And then he said, if your enemies want to kill you, it's not necessary that they will always kill you with weapons. There are other ways to kill an enemy also. So now it is said, samajhne wale ko ishara bhi kafi hai. So Yudhishthir Maharaj decoded it. Probably there's going to be an attack on me without weapons. And what could it be? He said, the soul is never burnt by fire, but the body can be burnt by fire. And so, they dug a tunnel and they escaped. So Vidur was always there to guide them in spite of his position that it was not expected from him. So when Vidur returns, they are very happy and Yudhishthir Maharaj represents all the others. They sit down together and he asks some questions to Vidur. He asks 3 questions. One question he asks is, in a very affectionate way, is, my dear uncle, do you remember how we were subjected to arson, how we were subjected to poisoning so many times, and you always saved us just like a bird takes out its wings and protects the eggs. Paksha chhaya samedhitan. Pakshi ki chhaya kaise dete hain? Apne pankh se dete hain aur apne ando ko aur apne chote chote bachcho ko sambhalte hain. We did not have our own bird father. Our Pandu father died early. So you took that role and paksha chhaya samedhitan. Do you remember it? So now the interesting point is, if Vidur was to analyze this relationship, what do you mean, do you remember? I am the one who did it. You were all kids that time. You helped somebody and that person is asking you, do you remember how you saved us? Of course I remember how I saved you. There are so many risks I took to save you. It means here Vidur is not analyzing the words. Vidur is not analyzing the care and concern. Vidur is acknowledging the reciprocation of gratitude from Yudhishthir for the care and concern that he gave to him. And Yudhishthir is not trying to decode the relationship, but why you saved us? Why you did not side with your king? Why you did not side with your other nephews?
No, he reciprocates with the concern that was shown by Vidur. So he's saying, do you remember? The second question that he asks is, my dear uncle, when you were on a tour of all the pilgrimage places, how did you maintain yourself? Please tell me where all you went. Did you eat in the bhandaras? At every holy place, there is a place where free food is given. Did you eat there? You are used to being a minister of the king. You are almost like the home minister of the king. So did you eat there? So this is again his concern for Vidur. It's his love for Vidur. First thing is, you know, I was there and I was all alone and I was on a pilgrimage. Why are you asking all these questions? Why don't you ask me, you know, how I rendered devotional service? Why don't you ask me questions about how much bhava, how much ruchi, how much prem I developed in my... Why are you asking all these mundane questions? Chitraketu Maharaj receives Angira and Narad Muni and they ask him, Angira Rishi asks Chitraketu, so how is everything going on? Is your kingdom going good? Or do your ministers obey you? So looks like a transcendentalist is asking very mundane questions. But no, that's how the conversation starts. Because that person at the mundane level, when you start immediately from transcendence, he will not be able to relate to it. So you give him transcendence, but you start with mundaneness. And the third question that Yudhishthir Maharaj asks him is, while traveling to different holy places, you must have gone to Prabhas. You must have gone to Dwarka. You must have met the Yaduvanshis. And you must have definitely seen and heard about Lord Krishna. Is everything well with the Yadus? Is everything going good with Lord Krishna? And by that time, Lord Krishna and the Yadus have already disappeared from this world. So now, what does Vidur do? It is mentioned, Vidur answered all the questions kramashaha. One by one he answered all the questions. And then it is mentioned, Vina vad yadu kulakshayam. He answered all the questions. He answered how, yes, he saved the Pandavas when they were kids. He answered what he ate and how all his travels happened. But he did not answer the question, Yadu Kula Kshayam, destruction of the Yadu dynasty. Why did he not answer? So, you know, primarily it is Vidur's concern for the Pandavas in initial phase of life. Now when Vidur comes back, it is Yudhishthir's concern for Vidur. And then again it is Vidur's concern for Yudhishthir in not answering that question. Why he does not answer the question about the Yadavas' disappearance? He knows they have already undergone so much pain in their life. I tried to help them, but with bound hands. My hands were bound by my responsibilities. There was another person who helped them, breaking all bounds. That was Lord Krishna himself. In every trying situation, it was Krishna. That Krishna, who was a string of hope in all the difficulties that they faced, that Krishna has now disappeared from this world. If I tell Yudhishthir Maharaj, now you lost your only well-wisher in this world, he'll be crushed. Just now, he's sitting on the throne. Just now, happiness has entered the door. It has not even come to the main room. Just now, happiness has entered this room. And now I'm telling him, there is this mountain of distress that I'm throwing on him. Krishna has disappeared and your well-wishers, the Yadavas, have disappeared. Your family members were not your well-wishers, but your cousins were your well-wishers. They have left this world. I don't want to do this. Out of concern for Yudhishthir, he does not answer the third question. So this shows how in a relationship, sometimes people act, if I can use this word with your permission, weird, little weird. Yudhishthir is asking strange questions. Do you remember? Of course I remember. What did you do there? What did you eat? Why are you concerned with all these details about eating and all? You should ask me some higher questions. I have 30 years of pilgrimage. And please tell me about Yadavas. And Vidur also reciprocates with that concern. He does not give a refutal to all that. He takes the sensitivity and he does not speak something that will hurt them. This is called a relationship. This is how you communicate in a relationship. And because people do not understand where to not judge and where to judge, they do not learn the art of discrimination, where to just hear. Some things are not meant to be decoded. Some things are meant to be experienced. Not every question in life is supposed to be answered. There are some questions in life which you just have to hear and note it down and understand that this person is asking me this question out of his or her concern for me. It is not an interrogation. This person is not trying to go deeper and deeper. Kaha the? Kya kar rahe the? It's not like that. It is concern of this person for me. So when some people ask us questions, it is actually a reflection of their love for us. But we end up becoming angry, put off by such questions, and we lose very good, dependable friends from our life. And then there are people who never ask us any questions. And because they do not ask us questions and we do not have discrimination, we feel, here are my friends who never ask me a question. But they are not asking you a question because they don't have concern for you. A person on the street never asks me questions because he does not have concern for me. So this is how people in Kali Yuga are fooled into losing their friends and making friendship with somebody who does not care for them. Another aspect of over-dependence on your own judgment, on your own logic, is when you try to understand transcendence. We'll take one example of trying to understand Krishna. Krishna is so unpredictable. What will Krishna do in a particular situation? We do not understand. Krishna saved his aunt's, paternal aunt's sons. Fufa ji hai na, Kunti. He did not save his own mother's sons, his own brothers. The 6 sons of Devaki were killed. He saved Prahlad from every single time there was death approaching him. And he killed his own son Bahuma, Asur. So when Asur behaves like a Deva or a Sur, he saves him. And his own son, when he behaves like Asur, he kills him. So how to understand this Krishna? Recently we celebrated Nityanand Trayodashi. So one particular incident in Lord Nityanand's glories is the Danda Bhanga Leela, where Lord Nityanand breaks the sannyas staff of Lord Chaitanya. And everyone, including Lord Chaitanya, appears to be very angry. Oh, how did you do this? This is the first time Lord Chaitanya, after sannyas, is walking towards Puri on the instructions of his mother. And on that journey, 6 miles before Jagannath Puri, there is a river called Suvarnarekha. On the banks of Suvarnarekha river, they bathe and Lord Chaitanya moves ahead. Lord Nityanand and Jagdanand Pandit, they stay behind. And Jagdanand Pandit goes out to beg alms and he says, Lord Chaitanya has given his sannyas danda to me to take care. I'll go for begging alms. You please keep this. As soon as he's gone, Lord Nityanand looks at the danda and says, my dear danda, I carry the Supreme Lord in my heart. He's worshipable. And you make the Supreme Lord carry you. Everyone is supposed to carry the Supreme Lord and you make the Supreme Lord carry you. You are making the Supreme Lord your servant. This is not good. He's speaking to the danda and he breaks that danda into 3 pieces. And when Jagdanand Pandit comes back, Jagdanand Pandit asks him, what happened? Who broke the sannyas danda of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Nityanand Prabhu says, the one who carried it, broke it. He says, Lord Chaitanya broke this danda through me. I am only a nimitta. I am only a instrument. And then Lord Nityanand takes Jagdanand Pandit, runs with that 3 pieces and meets Lord Chaitanya ahead and says, so Lord Chaitanya is surprised. My sannyas danda. He says, oh Jagdanand, is compassion. Oh Jagdanand, on your way here, were you attacked by somebody? That's why you used this danda and it got broken? Jagdanand Pandit says, no, Nityanand Prabhu broke it. And Lord Chaitanya is furious. Lord Chaitanya says, you are a child. You behave like a child. You always go against the Vedic injunctions. You are an avadhut. You don't know what is right and what is wrong. Why did you do it? This is the residence of demigods. My Guru Maharaj gave it to me and you broke it. And Lord Nityanand says, why are you chastising me so much? I just broke one bamboo rod. If you want to punish me, you punish me. So then, after this incident, Lord Chaitanya understands there's no point in discussing with him. Lord Chaitanya says, okay, from now onwards, we are not traveling together. Either you go ahead or I go ahead. Nityanand Prabhu keeps quiet. Mukunda says, my dear Lord, how can we go ahead? You go ahead, you are the master. And Lord Chaitanya moves ahead. And Lord Nityanand comes behind and they reach Jagannath Puri. Before reaching Jagannath Puri, they reach a village called Jaleshwar. In this Jaleshwar is a temple of Lord Shiva. And after that, Sankirtan in Lord Shiva's temple, Lord Chaitanya takes all his associates to the side. So this is a few, maybe hours after the incident where Lord Nityanand did the unthinkable. Lord Chaitanya tells all his associates, he says, never ever disrespect Lord Nityanand. I and Lord Nityanand are one. In fact, whatever I want to do in this world, I do it through Lord Nityanand. So now we understand, Lord Chaitanya was angry at Lord Nityanand. And Lord Nityanand very frankly revealed, he who carried it, broke it. And then Lord Chaitanya again confirms it. Later at one point of time, Lord Chaitanya visits Panihati and meets Raghav Pandit. In seclusion,
It is mentioned, Vrindavandas Thakur mentions, Lord Chaitanya told Raghav Pandit, very soon Nityanand Prabhu will come here. Lord Chaitanya is speaking about the next year. Next year when Lord Nityanand visited Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya told him, I want you to never ever come again to Puri. You go to Bengal and you preach there. So it is interesting, Lord Chaitanya wanted to give Prema Bhakti, but he was misunderstood when he was trying to give. So he took sannyas. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas to give what nobody else could give. So we feel now he must be, you know, the person who has cracked it. And then that Lord Chaitanya, who took sannyas to give what nobody else could give, is telling Lord Nityanand, you give to those to whom even I cannot give in sannyas. As a sannyasi, I cannot approach certain people. So you go. So just try to understand how Lord Chaitanya does what he wants through Lord Nityanand, and Lord Nityanand breaks that sannyas rod. So there Vrindavandas Thakur tells, if anyone thinks I have understood Lord Krishna's mind, he is just trying to fool himself and he is just trying to fool others. Nobody can understand the mind of Lord Krishna. Sometimes he is totally indifferent to those whom he loves. There are examples of Vrajvasis. Seems he is indifferent to them. He had all the time to go from Dwarka to Mithila. Mithila is on the other side of the country. But he did not get time to go to Vrindavan. He had time to go to Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is north of Vrindavan. He did not get time to just take a small diversion and go to Vrindavan and meet the Vrajvasis. It seems he is indifferent to all the Vrajvasis and the love that they gave to him. And sometimes Lord Krishna is super merciful to those who are inimical towards him. So many, like the Kauravas, Dushyasan, Duryodhan, they got darshan of Lord Krishna, but the Vrajvasis never got darshan of Krishna. So that's why Lord Krishna also, if we try to decode him, if we try to understand Lord Krishna through our logic and through our inference, we'll fall on our face. So then what do? We have to understand, as far as my progress is concerned, how should I progress? What is good for me? What is sadhana? What is sadhya? Jiva Goswami mentions there are three primary illusions for a person. He says, Sva-tattva-brahma. Who am I? This is the first brahma that everyone has. The second is Para-tattva-brahma. Who is the Supreme Lord? Is he impersonal? Is he personal? And the third brahma that he mentions is Sadhana-sadhya-brahma. So some of us, you know, those who are self-realized, those who claim to be self-realized, they can understand. I am not this body. Socrates said, I am not this body. No access to Vedic scriptures, but just by his inference he said. So he seems he does not have Sva Tattva Brahma. He did not clearly say I am the spirit soul. But at least he was clear that I am not the body. And some of us, due to the grace of our past, maybe we were brought up in a Vaishnava family. And then we are exposed to Vishnu worship right from our birth. So we understand he is the Supreme Lord. So I know I am the servant. I know I am spirit soul. And I might also know that Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Now, how do I make this relationship stronger? That is where the sadhana comes. And that is the third brahma. Sadhana, sadhya, brahma. So, the first obstacle is Sva-tattva brahma. The second obstacle is Paratattva brahma. But Jiva Goswami in a very nice way says, the third obstacle is the obstacle beyond these two, which is how to approach that Supreme Lord. And that is where this discrimination will help us. What is good for me? What is not good for me? Please teach me what is sadhana. The do's and the don'ts, the vidhi. So, in all these misunderstandings, judgments, comments, opinions, and relationships being misunderstood, and Krishna, we are not able to understand Krishna, we need a lot of clarity to keep walking on the path of sadhana to reach the Supreme Lord. And that is why we need instructions from the Supreme Lord, and we need instructions from His words in the scriptures, and we need instructions from the acharyas who have lived by those words. And that is why here Uddhava is saying, therefore, my Lord, please instruct your poor servant. He's saying, I'm poor as far as my discrimination is concerned. Please tell me how I can very easily carry out your instructions. So, the class is over. There is this beautiful passage from this book called Bhaktya Loka. We'll just read this. This tells us how to overcome our prejudices, how to develop the quality of discrimination. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying,
By observing the pure characteristics of a devotee, in a very short time, a person's mind is changed, his attachment for sense enjoyment decreases, and the seedling of bhakti sprouts in the heart. And then he gives 6 examples. One even gradually develops a taste for the Vaishnava's food and behavior. So example number 1. We have seen how by association with Vaishnavas, people have given up many anarthas. Taste for associating with women, thirst for wealth, desire for sense enjoyment and liberation, inclination for karma and jnana, eating meat and fish, drinking wine, smoking tobacco, and a desire to chew paan. Second example, by observing a Vaishnava's quality of not uselessly wasting time, many people have easily given up anarthas such as laziness, oversleeping, useless talk, and urge of speech, etc. Third example, we have also seen that by associating with Vaishnavas for some time, someone's cheating propensity and a desire for fame have been destroyed. Fourth example, we have seen with our own eyes that by associating with Vaishnavas with a little affection, all other association such as attachment for prejudices has been vanquished. Fifth example, those who are attached to winning fights, those who are expert at attaining dominion, those who are eager to accumulate great wealth, all such types of people have attained devotional service by being purified in the association of Vaishnavas. Sixth example, even the hearts of persons who think, I will defeat the world by my arguments and attain supremacy, have been pacified. Without the association of Vaishnavas, there is no alternative for rectifying the attachment for prejudices. Other attachments, maybe material nature, will snatch away. Kala is also very expert at snatching away things from you. But one thing that is not destroyed is your own ignorance, is your own prejudices. And that is why we are dependent on the Supreme Lord's instructions and those who live by those instructions. So these are a few thoughts I thought we could discuss on this verse where Uddhav is beseeching the Lord, please instruct me. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.